inserts in other workloads. Yeah, that's good. Good morning, everyone, and welcome this morning. Good to be together here in the worship of God on this day. Welcome to those of you who are here. Welcome to those who will be listening or watching at a later time. We're glad, so glad that we can share together in this way. Just a reminder again that doing a video record of the service, and hopefully that will be the case each week from now on. Welcome to Lent week 3, and today, the gospel reading, we turn to another encounter that Jesus had. Last week we heard of Nicodemus, and today it's where Jesus meets with a woman who comes to a well that is a common heritage to both Samaritan and Israel, the Jewish people. And this encounter changes her life, and that's the gospel reading we hear today. Psalm 95, O come, let us sing to the Lord, let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving, let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. O come, let us worship and bow down, let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. We pray. This is the place and this is the time. This is a place and a time when we come to the well for water and we pause. And we pause there for a while. For here and now, God waits to break into our experience, to change our minds, our lives, our perspective, to offer a living water to quench all that we would thirst for, that we may see the world and the whole of life in a new light, to fill us with hope and peace and certainty for the future. This is the place as are all places. This is the time as are all times. Eternal God, you come to meet us where we are and as we are, calling us, accepting us, bringing your good news, revealing truth and the way of life everlasting. We acknowledge our dependence upon you and seek to follow you more faithfully. Help us to see you, to hear you, to experience your presence as we gather together now and indeed in our everyday lives. Help us to be alert to you in whatever unexpected ways you may come, and help us to be ready to respond to you in love and thanksgiving in the name of Christ. Amen. This morning we sing again a song that we had last week, The Goodness of God. And again, for those of you who are familiar with it, we're singing just the verses. We're not doing the bridge that happens towards the end. And so we stand to sing The Goodness of God.
In
be seated. Let us pray. God, our Creator, your kindness has brought us the gift of a new morning. Help us not to get caught up in yesterday or to be anxious about tomorrow, but to accept the uniqueness of this day. By your love, take from us what we need to carry no longer, so that we may be free again to serve you and to be served by each other. We pray, Lord, for your mercy, that even in those times when we serve you at our best, we still fall short of your glory, we still fall short of what you ask of us. Even in those times, Lord, when we give our best to those around us, we still struggle to give our best to you. Please forgive us and have mercy on us. We thank you that as we journey with Christ through this Lenten season, as we journey towards the cross, we once again are filled with the assurance of because of his work for us in his death and resurrection, that we're able to know of your mercy, your forgiveness. We're able to know of life in all of its fullness. And we are thankful as we pray in his name. Amen. In Romans, we hear that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so we're able to know in and through Christ that our sins are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. I invite you to share a word of peace as renewed and forgiven people. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to church on this quite dismal day, but it's a bit nice to have the rain again. Notices for this week. You'll note that Lent event stuff is all in your notices. Today we are looking at Lent event for water, I believe, and the three Lent event sessions start this week on Wednesday with David.
Wednesday night
with David.
And Tuesday morning with me here.
Tuesday morning, Wednesday night. If you would like to join in, please let David or Dawn and Andrew know if you are going to take up their offer of this sharing time. David's doing double time. He's obviously been very naughty. Lent event envelopes are down the back. There's information there about the changes to the refreshed shop. We've also got coffee and chat again this Wednesday. Cool and classic. I know you haven't forgotten cool and classic. That's this afternoon. So if you can stay behind and just help clear the decks this morning, that would be good. And we can't set up down in the hall until 1 o'clock. So if you can be there down in the hall at 1, that would be lovely. Women's Fellowship Monday, Men's Lunch Friday, 1 One Table's doing very well out of the Kenmore congregation this week. Music Lovers is also starting on the 19th, so keep that in mind. Easter Morning Tea at Brookfield is once again being hosted, and we have Artburst there. Just a little reminder that David sends out the video of the service, and it's very easy to just click on it. It's in the email to click on it, and the video comes up, or if you prefer going through the website. Is it on the website yet? This week it will be going up on the website. So it's if you can't make church, really, that's the next best thing. Even if you have and you want to revise part of the service, that's there. 2 weeks' time we have our congregational meeting, and that is with the presentation of reports from all the groups, and also we're farewelling three church councillors, Coralie, Dawn and Selma, who between them have a huge collective memory of our church. And we are very thankful for the service they have given us, and there will be a service of Thanksgiving in April. But that does leave a few spaces. Four of our current members are coming up for re-election. So that would be me, Rosemary, and Andrew Hayes. So Andrew has said he will continue. He took it on for 1 year to test the waters, and we didn't scare him away, so he's going to continue on church council. Wana has also felt a calling to come to council, so we thank Wana for accepting that. And thank you to those people that take the time to assist in the guidance of our church. I think that's it. Thank you.
Thanks, Wendy. So three things to mention just by way of our life together. Had a World Day of Prayer go on Friday. I think I heard that went. Any particular comments about that? You got any thoughts, Rosemary? How about that for throwing you under the bus? Or anyone else? How did World Day of Prayer go?
It was amazing to hear from... is that coming up?
Nigeria, was it? Was it Nigeria?
Yes, and the young man had actually been in Nigeria and involved in being captured by or menaced by some of those other tribes where the dreadful things have been happening up north. So it's really so close. We're offering places to people, thank heaven, who've had those backgrounds, but they're in our community. It's not something that necessarily has only happened a long way away. They have those memories with them. So it was very moving.
I'm not sure how young Blessing was, but he looks very young. He and his wife were both university graduates in Nigeria, and they sought refuge here and attended Queensland Uni to get masters in the fields. He was law and I can't remember hers, but she then went on to study medicine at University of Queensland. And what really struck me was Blessing's description of Australia as a beautiful, safe place. And he was so thankful that they were able to be in a place that is as safe as Australia. And it's really important that we remember that we are a safe country and that many people envy what we are able to do here. It was a really good service.
Thanks, Wendy. Thanks, Dawn. Marlene, you're... Your Rosemary.
And it was also really nice to meet the people from the Indrapilli congregations and mix with them and talk to them and hear about the services for disadvantaged people that the different churches have that I think Dawn is going to link into the leaflet she's got too. So, and we had a lovely morning tea with a former colleague of Jenny's who was in charge, and Jenny thinks she's about 90, but she's still, yeah, she's still a cater. It was lovely. Yes.
Thanks, everyone, for your sharing there. And you'll recall a few weeks ago I had the Open Doors top 10 most dangerous places to be a Christian in the world, and that's actually a top 50. And Nigeria is on that list, folks. As Wendy encouraged us to be thankful and certainly to continue to pray for there. The other thing I wanted to mention was when I visited Joan Wilcox a few weeks ago, and I mentioned this a couple of Sundays ago, that she said that she was a contributor to this current edition of With Love to the World, which some of you have used for many years. And did I put this on a slide, Rosie? What have I got on the next slide? Did I do some Lent event things or something? No? I can't remember. Okay, yep, you can just leave that one up, that's fine. I've got a notice in the news sheet about this morning there's a 50th anniversary service that's taking place down in Sydney. This has been around for 50 years and it's quite extraordinary. And Joan is one of the contributors for late April, early May. And good morning, Joan. I know Joan watched last week. And thanks, Joan, for your email too. That was really great because she said that as she watched last week's, she almost felt like she was here. That's a very encouraging comment. I just want to read, because they give a little bit of a blurb for the contributors, and I thought it would be appropriate to read what is said here. Easter 5 contains material provided by Mrs. Joan Wilcox, and Joan has faithfully served as a layperson in the Congregational Church and then the Uniting Church over many decades. Joan has been strongly committed to ecumenism at the local level and across New South Wales. Her scholarships enabled her to complete an MTH, Master of Theology thesis, on the Revised Common Lectionary, a resource which the editor, who is John Squires, a resource which the editor, who was her academic supervisor, still uses in his work for With Love to the World. Joan now lives over at Cinnamon, at Dove Tree. Thanks. If you've got a spare 3 hours, I'll let you know how I actually got to visit her when I caught a bus there a few weeks ago. That was an interesting... took me just a little while to... When I normally go, I park down around the back and just go straight up, but I went through the main entry and, 14 hours later, I was found, clinging to a water fountain somewhere, I think it was, but anyway, not quite. So it's really significant that Joan is a contributor, and if you're someone who reads that or if you want to have a copy of that, then please let me know and we'll get that to you. But it's a great ministry, and how extraordinary that Joan is a part of that ministry for this edition. So thank you, Joan, for that. I said there were three things. I can't remember what the other one was. So Lent event, week three. And this is just from material that Uniting World provide for Lent event. And the focus for this week is for West Papua and particularly on building their resilience for their production of food, and particularly through the connection with the Evangelical Christian Church in Papua, and really critically involved in some of the local projects there. Thanks, Catherine. So working with her, so they're working, this project includes the food gardens, practices, helping them with their small businesses and those kind of things. And the Evangelical Church, they're really critically involved in this project. Have I got another one there? I can't remember. Jesus did and serve people, which is a great quote. And there's a prayer that they provide, and I'm just going to use part of that prayer, not the whole thing. God of creation and life, we give thanks for the land of West Papua, for forests rich with life, for rivers, reefs and mountains that have sustained communities for generations. We remember our sisters and brothers whose lives are deeply connected to this land where food, culture and faith are woven together with the earth itself. Dear God, who calls us to love as Jesus loved, turn our prayers into solidarity and our compassion into faithful action. Shape us to listen humbly, to give generously, and to stand with our global family in Christ, so that together we may share in your work of renewal and witness hope taking root across your people and all creation. Amen. We turn to the Bible reading, and it's in two sections today, just to break it up a little bit. So Dawn's just going to come and read the first section. We'll sing after that, and then Margot will read the second part. So thanks, Dawn. Is that what you were thinking was going to happen? That's good. I will read the first bit. Sorry, Dawn. From John chapter 4. Sorry, Dawn, I thought. John chapter 4. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go and get your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem. Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, is now here, when true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, what do you want, or why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. He can't be the Messiah, can he? They left the city and were on their way to him. We stand to sing, I heard the voice of Jesus say. Thanks, Margot. Are you okay to read the second that second part of the story? Thanks, Margot. And as she comes forward, it's from John's are quite lengthy ones, which is a good thing. If we get the opportunity, keep going, Margot. That's fine. We have the opportunity just to hear these stories in their detail. Thanks, Margot. Margaret was just saying she was a bit sorry she was late this morning. Had a native animal doing some things by the sound of it in the house.
A possum.
Possum.
Yes. Sure. With claws and panic and... Anyway. This is John 4, verses 31 to 42. In the meantime, the disciples were begging Jesus, "Teacher, have something to eat." But he answered, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." So the disciples, starting amongst themselves, "Could somebody have brought him food?" "My food," Jesus said unto them, "is to obey the will of the one who sent me and to finish the work that he gave me to do." You have a saying, 4 more months and then the harvest. But I tell you, take a good look at the fields. The crops are ripe now and ready to be harvested. The one who reaps the harvest is being paid, and he gathers the crops for eternal life. So the one who plants and the one who reaps will be glad together. For the saying is true, someone plants, somebody else reaps. I have sent you to reap a harvest in a field where you did not work. Others work there, and you profit from their work. Many of the Samaritans in that town believed in Jesus because the woman had said, "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they begged him to stay with them, and Jesus stayed there for 2 days. Many more believed because of his message, and they told the woman, "We believe now, not because of what you said, but because we feel ourselves have heard him, and we know that he really is the Saviour of the world."
Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Margot.
Now, I must try not to stumble.
No, I'll hold it.
Hang on.
Did we go? Hold my hand.
Yeah, I'll grab the table if that's okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
There we go. Thank you. Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So just where we've been the last few weeks here, and I've picked up on this word for Lent about reveals, as Jesus reveals who he is and what God is doing among us. And first week of Lent was the temptations of Jesus from Matthew chapter 4. Last week was the story of Jesus and Nicodemus and the word their light. And as we see here, thanks again, Marion, tempt light. And today it's about water from John chapter 4. John 4 verse 6. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. He came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." Me a drink. Everyone has a story. Everyone has their story. Sometimes when I'm pulled up at traffic lights or maybe in a shopping centre, I find myself just watching people go by and just wondering. Wondering where they're going. Wondering who else do they have in their life around them. I wonder what's happening for them today. Am I the only one that does this? If I am, I'd better do something about this. But what's their story? Sometimes wonder. What's their story? Thanks, Gwen. Even Sunday mornings, as I drive here and come past some of the coffee shops at Chapel Hill here, I wonder about the people that sit there and what their story is. And I sometimes wonder, how might their story at some point interact with our story? Ultimately, what part might we have in their story connecting with God's story? How might that happen for us, whether that be us here at Kenmore or at Bris West, where I'm sure same thing happens, or Brookfield or at Chapel Hill, wherever. Here, this woman who comes to meet Jesus has her story. She has her story. And it's been one of struggle as we read a bit into this. The woman and her reputation has perhaps received a fair bit of bad press over the years, I suspect, when this passage has been studied or preached and commented on. Some have raised perhaps unfairly questions about her character, why she is in the circumstances in which she finds herself, we do not know. For whatever reason, she has had a number of husbands. The cycle of relationships in her life may have left her without many expectations of anything different in her life. She was all too aware of the realities of life. Perhaps she had no delusions about the prospect of happiness or contentment associated with love, family, relationships. We discover here an encounter, a conversation that is honest and upfront and continues at a profound level between Jesus and this woman. These are not minor or incidental items of chit-chat that she has with Jesus. Their conversation has to do with an alternative way of viewing life, unlike what she has known and experienced ever before. After this encounter with Jesus, life cannot be and is not the same for her. The circumstances of her life has been set in a new way, in a new perspective and a new direction. Again and again in this story, we are reminded that in the presence of Jesus, barriers are broken down, that there are no longer Jews and Samaritans, male and female. Jesus accepts us as we are, but does not leave us there. Does not leave us there. Stories. Everyone has their story. Few quotes from some of my trusty sources of Nick Cave, Mark Hurd and Kate Bowler this morning. And I was reading it again through some of Nick Cave's Red Hand files, and someone had written to him about suffering, and as usual, his responses to that are really interesting, really interesting. This is one thing he said. We're all made of loss, longing and struggle, each carrying our losses within us, the personal and everyday, and those that reverberate through our collective histories. And I couldn't help but think of this woman's story that Jesus meets as I read that. And indeed for each of us. I don't know about you, but this is pretty true for me and most people that I meet with. We're all made of loss, longing and struggle, and we carry those things with us. And there was another great line. There was one bit where people were just firing questions at him. It was like a quick question and answer thing. And someone said, JL from Canada, is religion not the refuge of the weak? And he responded with this brilliant line. I thought, yes, JL, it is precisely that, Christianity in particular. Nick Cave has a lot of sympathy for Christianity. And a lot of admiration for Jesus. There's some stuff he puts out there which is kind of over here, and I'm not quite sure just where he is with stuff. But he has this deep respect for Jesus. And indeed, Christianity is a refuge for the weak, and praise God for that. that it is. It is a refuge, but it's much, much more than that. People's story, our story. This week, been listening to some of the stories from Iran and from a few different sources, some very close to us. It makes a difference when you hear the story that's a little closer to home, firsthand, as it were. Please continue to pray for Iran and Israel. Dawn forwarded to through the email the message from the President of the Assembly in a prayer, and I encourage you to reflect a little upon that. People's stories. And for those of you who particularly offer care to another within the life of our congregation, pastoral care, this is what you do. It's the key intention as you listen, as you have your ear open to listen to someone's story. You put your story to one side quite intentionally, and so to be able to be fully in the moment as you listen to another. And I hear that that's what happens at Refreshed during the week. People sharing their stories, telling their stories. And in the midst of that, hopefully receiving some encouragement along the way. This was the case with Jesus. He was fully present with both the woman at the well and also, as we heard last week, with Nicodemus. Jesus interacts with each of them in a different way. They were different people, they were different situations, and they had different needs, and Jesus responds to that accordingly. Where Jesus takes both of them is a similar direction, a similar way, in that he reveals to them who he is. For Nicodemus, he takes him from darkness to light. For this woman, he takes her from a deep thirst in her life to having that thirst quenched. He knows her circumstances. Water is such an important thing. Water is, and I'm not telling any of you any news about that. Mark Hurd has this song from many, many years ago called Some Folks, and he's kind of contrasting the different experiences of people around the world. But he says this in this song: rain can spoil your weekend, or rain can save your life, depending on who you are and what your thirst is for. Brisbane knows all too well that water is a life-sustaining thing, or too much of it all at once can be devastating. We know that. In fact, Wendy reminded of us that in Reflections, in the beginnings of the Refresh Shop, that it was out of the, 2011 floods, I think, that Heather began some processes there. So we're all too know all too well the significance of water. But the water that Jesus gives is never devastating. It's always life-giving, always sustaining. Water's so important to life. Crikey, we've even got rover vehicles on Mars looking for it. Because water equals life. Water equals life. So we've got rovers wandering around Mars trying to find it. Last Sunday, we shared in David Locke's memorial service here, and after that, I was talking with a couple of his relatives from down south, and they live near Wagga. They're farmers. They grow apples, one of the things that they do, and they're starting the harvest this week. They were due to start on Monday or Tuesday. And they were wondering how it was going to go. It's been a really dry season for them, really dry. And so they were wondering what was the impact of the lack of water on their crop and the quantity and the quality. Water is such an important thing. Jesus offers life-giving water, and that's what he offers to this woman, and it turns her life around. Turns her life around. Towards the end of the story in John's Gospel, it says that she left her jars behind and went to the city to tell people of this man who knew everything about her. She left her jars behind. And I suspect that as she leaves those jars behind at that well, she also leaves behind those parts of her story that belittled her, that defined her. As she runs back into town, she leaves her jars and those parts of her story behind, for she had now found life. She had found the water that quenched her soul. Folks, there are times when we need to leave our jars behind. Having heard words of life and freedom and release from Jesus, to leave behind the jars and all that they represent of our old life, of the aches, or as Nick Cave put it earlier on, those sorrows and losses that we carry. They're still a part of us, but in the life-giving, thirst-quenching encounter with Jesus, those things no longer shape us. They no longer. The isolation for her, the shame, the loneliness, the guilt, the regret, the humiliation. She leaves them behind as she leaves her jars behind. Let's leave our jars behind that we need to in that. I want to finish with this quote from Kate Bowler. Now, you might not be able to read that. I want to read it anyway. I continue to follow her reflections through Lent, here she's talking about regret and being able to leave that behind and be able to live life. And she says this, in the story of Lent, we will see Jesus move towards the cross with an enormous sense of foreboding. Our Jesus walks towards his own death, not with an eerie calm, but so much fear that he sweats blood. Some people try to prevent his suffering, while others will betray him. It's a story steeped in almost and should haves, and I wish it wasn't so. But I find that in particular there is something especially fitting about allowing the darkness of this story to speak to us about our own limitations. We are imperfect and our knowledge is partial. Our bodies are fragile and our choices deeply limited. We were always and forever human, so omniscience is off the table. This woman goes back to her village and says, "I've found the Messiah." Many Samaritans, in verse 39, from that city believed in him because of her testimony. So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they asked him to stay with them. Remember, these are Samaritans, the arch enemies of the Jews. They asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It's no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Saviour of the world." Let us pray. Lord our God, we thank you that you know us and you know our story, and at times that's a little scary, but ultimately we know that it leads to life in all of its fullness. It means that our thirst can be quenched. It means that we can know the life-giving water that you give, and that we can drink freely this day and all the days that follow. As we ponder these things, Lord, I pray that you'll help us to think about those jars that we need to leave behind and to see in you our life fulfilled. Amen. Jenny's going to play some music as our offering is received, and then our prayers for others and ourselves. Creator of all, from you every good and perfect gift comes. We offer these gifts, Lord, for the work of your church and the care of your people throughout this community, this nation, and the world. May all we offer to you be used to enrich and affirm life for the glory of your name. Amen.
I sent invites you to join in a service online tomorrow night by the Uniting Church in Australia. It'll be an Australia-wide service, a service of prayer for the system of the situation in the Middle East. So that was also, the link was in there as well as the prayers. The first part of our prayer is going to be the one from the President of the Uniting Church, and then I'll continue. Let us pray together a prayer for peace in a time of war. God of compassion and mercy, creator of every nation and every people, we come before you grieving the suffering unfolding in our world. God, revealed to us in Jesus Christ the peace that we need. We bring before you the lands where our faith was born, now shaken by escalating violence and deep uncertainty. We pray for the people of Iran and for the people of Israel and for all across the region living tonight with fear. We pray for children woken by sirens, for families seeking safety, for those carrying grief, anger, and anxiety. Prince of Peace, interrupt the cycle of violence. Protect civilian life on every side. Grant leaders wisdom and restraint. Turn hearts from further destruction toward dialogue and de-escalation. Spirit of the living God, comfort those in Australia whose loved ones are in harm's way. Strengthen Jewish, Muslim, Iranian, Arab, and Christian communities who may feel vulnerable or unsettled. Guard us from every form of hatred that rises in times of conflict. Make your church a peace, a place of safety, compassion, and steady hope. May fear give way to understanding. May violence give way to courage for peace. May Jesus and mercy meet in the name of the Christ who is our peace. Amen. We continue with our own prayers. As headlines switch from one side of the world to another following the latest outbursts of violence and aggression, help us to remember those for whom the attention on a new war front seems to make their troubles forgotten. We particularly think of those in the Ukraine who worry that the focus on other areas will only make their own aggressors bolder. We ask you also to help us model a better way whenever we can inside our own country and our own community. Help us, like the people of Minnesota, to be brave and watchful and speak out against injustice and any wrong use of economic and social power when we see it, even if it seems small, because it can be insidious and we need to speak up early, not late. On this International Day of Women, we thank you for some forward steps in the processes for women suffering domestic violence, but the figures still shock us. Bless those men who stand up for respect to women and call out even the snide remarks when they hear them. We acknowledge today the amazing and growing body of women contributing in science, the arts, service to the community, the care sector, and homes all over Australia. Bless those who become role models for younger girls and encourage them to spread their wings. Thank you, Lord, for the people who are doing so much towards bringing an afternoon of joy and laughter to those coming to our concert. May everyone who comes go away lifted by the abundant life that you bring to us all. We are so grateful for the blessings of the arts and entertainment world and the technology that connects us now to so much that is beautiful and good. Forgive us when we concentrate on negatives and help us look for goodness and beauty in the week ahead. And open up your extraordinary world for those we know who are struggling with heart issues. Let us take heart by joining together in the prayer Jesus taught. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We're sharing our final hymn of this morning, and we'll sing a number of verses, then have the benediction, and sing the last verse or two after the blessing. We stand to sing.
In the power of the Holy Spirit, we now go forth into the world to fulfill our calling as the people of God, the body of Christ. May the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and forevermore. Amen. Last verse.